Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all of you on Blog Talk Radio. Glad to have you with us today. It is a beautiful Sunday morning here in North Dakota. Well, we got some clouds, and we had a wonderful rain. Yes, they love. Could you get
it? It is a beautiful Sunday.
So what makes this Sunday morning beautiful is that you are here and we are here and we're studying the Holy Word of God. That is what makes any day an amazing day all day long. Now, we are we're going to be studying righteousness today, just like we were last night for the program. And we're going to study righteousness all week long. You know, I probably could have got my own copy because I want to show everybody our harvest kitchen. Now, if you haven't seen it yet and looked closely, I want to share it with you. Well, hold on just a second. That didn't share anything. That just slid everything. Oh, here we have Jumbo the Cabbage Head.
Yeah.
That thing is almost as tall as the coffee maker.
It is huge.
We got wonderful green and red tomatoes and potatoes. Look at this. What do you call this thing?
Poblano.
A poblano pepper. I don't know if you know what they are or not, but they're like awesome. And then potatoes and peppers. And in here is the first batch of relish I have ever made all on my own self, lonesomely. Well, why would we say lonesome? Like we want it? Anyways, that smells really good. And it's from one of those recipes from my mom that she made. My mom's a wonderful cook and cared well for us. Look at me. I'm very healthy. Grew up very healthy, strong. And so I hope that you, during this harvest period of your life, are harvesting everything you can get your hands on. Because this is the season of harvest. This is when it's the easiest to understand seed time and harvest out of God's word.
Amen.
Why? Because you're seeing it all around you, everywhere you go, every day. Now, I have a very powerful lesson this week on seed time and harvest from a cantaloupe. And we had one here, and I cut it open the other day to eat it, and it's like, wow, look at the seeds inside of this one cantaloupe. And so I took them out. I dried them out. I actually went through the whole process of coming to the ability to harvest those seeds so I could plant them. Now, I'm not going to plant bunch of cantaloupe next year, but I'm going to give a whole lesson on that. But listen to this. In the one cantaloupe, nice one, and it was delicious, there was 666 663 seeds that I counted.
I was going to say you lost some down the drain.
I like my 633 number, 63, not that. I don't like that other number. Anyways, 663 seeds that I ended up with in my little plate. And I like lost a bunch down the sink, you know, everything, just trying to get it there. 663 of them. And plant through a hill. So that's 231 hills.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 231 hills produces somewhere between 900 and 1,800 cantaloupe. And the next year, you have enough cantaloupe to provide for all of Walmart.
Yeah.
Seed time and harvest with our God. Yeah. More than enough seed in that one cantaloupe to provide for you and your whole family. And I wanted to get a percentage rate of how many times harvest that was. So if you had three seeds that you planted and you got 663 seeds, how big a harvest is that? That's 231 fold harvest. That's not just 100 fold. That's a 231 fold harvest. And so when you see this with your eyes, then all of a sudden you can look in the Word of God and say, wait a minute. If I can see it with my eyes, and then when I read it here, it makes sense to me. All right. I was listening to a message this last week of a great preacher in our day that said, many times the lessons that God wants you and I to learn, which are natural lessons, he won't let us move into the spiritual benefit of them until we first learn the natural lesson. And I don't know that I'd ever heard anybody say that way, but it was a good way to say it, because yet there's sometimes when God says, no, bam, you believe that? You believe the word, bam, there it is. There's other some of these lessons. God is God. He's our Father. He knows what he's doing. He knows what we need. And then some lessons happens like that. And then others, he's like, no. Position yourself for a mighty move of God and come to an understanding of this in Jesus' mighty name. Texting me on a Sunday. Isn't that just something? Here we go. Now, today's lesson that I'm going to be teaching is walking with God. We've been doing a Walking with God series here, 1 hour of faith. Walking with God in righteousness like the heroes of faith did. And we're going to talk about two of the heroes of our faith who walked with God in righteousness, just like you have the ability to let people in.
Yeah, I just did.
Just like you and I are walking in righteousness. And then I want to encourage all of you this week. We will be teaching on righteousness all week long. We're going to be focused on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and teaching on righteousness all week long. Last night, as we were having our program, it was obvious that there was some more understanding that we needed to have, and that's okay, because every level you grow in God, you'll be confronted with another level of understanding that he wants you to go to. There'll never be a day when you will finally say, there it is, I finally reached all the understanding. They taught you wrong in K-12 school. Because when you graduated, they said, there, that's enough. Now go out and be a successful person. Anybody like me might have had a few days of struggle after that. Why? Because that wasn't the end of education. All that did was give you the foundation. What that was supposed to teach you is how to go and find the understanding that you need. Who cares if you got an F? Who cares if you got a paper that was all marked up? The most important thing to learn is How to Seek Out and Find the Answer for Your Life. And some people had such a bad experience with education that it scarred them forever to ever be able to receive a revelation of who God is,
yeah,
or figure out how to search after understanding. They were mocked and made so much fun of. They couldn't read. They couldn't write. They couldn't spell. They couldn't add. They couldn't whatever. And so they spend their whole life saying, well, I'm dumb. I can't do that. No, no. All that was to do was lay the foundation to help you make it. And if you're 50 years old, you've made it now for 30 years. So make sure you go into your own heart, soul, mind, and spirit and say, hey, why don't you shut up, brain? Because I've made it for 30 years. I'm still alive, and I actually even have clothes. Yeah. And here in America, you probably even have a car. And 30 years, you probably even have an apartment and know how to pay your bills. You might even have a checking account. You never know. See, to say that you're no longer successful, no, that's not it. Anyways, welcome to the community of faith and to our 1 hour of faith right here from the kitchen. This is the kitchen studio. And in the background is the harvest. And, you know, as soon as this is done, the studio will now become one relish-making kitchen.
And garden soup.
Garden soup. I got, now I'm going to have competition for counter space while I'm trying to make all of my relish. Anyway.
And enjoy the beauty of harvest.
Oh, yeah, enjoy it.
Enjoy the pumpkins. Enjoy the cornucopias, yeah, of it. You know, they're,
wait,
you
wait, what's a cornucopia? I don't know what those are.
That's the big, they used to use.
Where do you grow them?
You don't, but you carry your harvest in them. They used
to. Oh, that big scoop looking thing?
Yes.
That's, yes, a corner what?
That's a cornucopia.
I thought this was like some kind of exotic vegetable.
Oh, no. It's to carry your harvest in. But you can enjoy all of those beautiful things without it, you know, participating in the wickedness of yeah, Halloween stuff. You celebrate the harvest.
No more should you worry about a pumpkin than you should no longer look at a beautiful rainbow.
Amen. There you go.
The enemy is trying to desecrate the wonderful things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I got to stand up boldly. Now, I do not agree with teaching your kids to carve a pumpkin and put a lantern in it, because that was very much designed to be a demonic force by the Druids. So I don't recommend you do that at all. But then there'll be people who'll say, and I don't recommend you buy no Christmas tree, Pastor. Because that has some pagan thing to it.
But they took a good thing and turned it to their own.
So I'm not going to carve no pumpkin and make no scary face. And I don't like the lantern idea because of what it stood for. All right. But it's okay if you don't like pumpkins or Christmas trees. I will never, never cause you to stumble over my belief. I do have a Christmas tree. Up till a couple years ago, up till 4 years ago when we moved here, I always had a real one. That's a little more difficult in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a fake one. But on that tree, we celebrate life. And
mm-hmm,
we celebrate family, and we celebrate the joy of Jesus' birth, even though he wasn't mm-hmm born. So just as long as you do what is right in your heart, I will not condemn you for it. You've got to obey the Holy Spirit. But for goodness sakes, this is harvest time.
Yes,
it doesn't belong.
Harvest.
It doesn't belong to the devil. Pine trees don't belong to the devil. Lights,
amen,
don't belong to the devil. Pumpkins, amen, don't belong to the devil. And
amen,
rejoicing that Jesus is born doesn't belong to the devil.
Amen.
And so, thank God that you and I can look at. One of the things that helped me understand that, I'll teach my message here, but let's deal with this right now. As we enter in, October is now the beginning of the holiday seasons. Christmas is already out. You know, people, Walmart, some of these places have already got their Christmas stuff up. But the Apostle Paul made a very powerful statement, and I think this can help people. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can dig this up.
Good morning, Rebecca. We're glad you're with us. And Roger, too, over on YouTube.
Roger, welcome
good
in.
Morning.
Good to have you.
Good morning, sister and Sam.
Thank you. Thank you. Sacrificed. Is that the right word? Huh. The Apostle Paul somewhere, somebody help me find it. I'll just say it, and you guys help find it. Talked about eating meat that was sacrificed to idols.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And that's a really good understanding of how to see these things. Because, honestly, in the kingdom of God, truly, by good believers, there ain't a single thing wrong with either side. You have people that believe there's absolutely nothing wrong with Christmas, and you believe that there's people that believe Christmas is a completely pagan holiday. Somewhere in the Word of God is the answer to that. What's interesting to me is the people that believe in celebrating Christmas and giving gifts that are truly in God, they would never be a part of a pagan celebration at all, whatever. Have a tree and everything, and the same people, and they look at the same Bible, and they listen to the same God Almighty. All right? So, did you find it?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 8:1.
1 Corinthians 8. Let's just look at this real quick. Don't worry. This is 1 hour of faith, which is the message I'm preaching, and then communion, and whatever else we decide to do. Now, let's look at this. This is not my message. I'm literally going to preach my message because it's important. But concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. God bless you, Paul. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eatings of things offered to idols. Now, he's being pretty straight up right here, isn't he? Considering the things offered to idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. Verse number 5. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord. Now watch this. One Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing in Ephesians chapter 4. Through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Well, Luke said, live and move and have our being. Verse 7, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now, eat it as if a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Now pay attention to this. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat, are we the better? Nor if we do not eat, are we the worse? So Amen. Paul is telling you and I that you're going to make a decision, and it's about your own conscience, whether you're going to eat meat or you're going to eat vegetables or, you know, whatever you're going to do. Keep reading. But be aware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. Here's the instruction, 10. If anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple. No, I would not do that myself.
Right.
Will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. Now, think about what Paul is saying. Now, see, that was meat offered to idol. There's one more place that says, if that person sees, and you know that is offered to idols. So we'll find that, and I'll do a whole teaching on it, because I don't want to get focused on it. What's the point? This is the point. Make sure you're not offending somebody else's conscience. And no matter how strong, you ready for this? You feel your conscience is by what you know about God. Don't make a big deal of somebody else's conscience who don't see it the same way that you do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's like there's a whole bunch of people on this earth that ain't never going to eat a piece of meat all their life, like never. And they won't eat milk. They won't eat, you know, they are fruits, nuts, and twigs, or whatever you call it. Bark and grass. But that's okay. And if you're healthy, to me, that's the thing. If you're healthy, and a lot of them don't look too healthy, but that's what you want to do, then may God bless you. I will never belittle you for it. All right? But in the same context, don't belittle me if I eat a 21-ounce porterhouse. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
I believe in porterhouse. I believe, like the Apostle Paul said, everything is to be sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Mm-hmm. All right? But the guy that eats meat ought to pay attention.
Thankful.
Ought to pay attention to the scientific knowledge of eating vegetables and being a vegetarian. There's great scientific knowledge in that. And even though God said meat is fine to be eaten, we got to now come to an understanding of how much. People will say, well, a vegetarian will live longer. Yeah, some of them die early. Yep. Why? Had a heart disease. Had nothing to do with their food. I'm preaching better than you're staring right now, but it's okay. What's the point? Don't offend somebody.
Yes.
On purpose.
Don't offend.
And not have any care and not think anything of it. Just like I just said about Christmas. People call me, I literally have had people call me a pagan because I have a Christmas tree. I am not a pagan. All right? I don't see that as pagan. Ready for this? And yet I would never put a pumpkin carved with a lantern in it on my front porch. Call me what you will. It's how I believe. And I will not in any way take away your belief system. And if you don't believe I should eat shrimp, I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to bless it. And if you don't think I should eat lobster and catfish, which are all bottom feeders, I'm still going to eat them. Now, I'm not going to eat and make that my only diet, because I know that's not good for me. And there's other people that would say if you eat liver, you're eating the most vile food there is. But I think liver is filled with iron and many nutrients that will be good for your body. So you see where we get when we get into that stuff? We fight a battle we don't need to fight.
Fight a battle you don't need to fight. Amen.
Keep your conscience between you and God, because according to Romans chapter 14, every single one of us are going to have to stand before our Father. and give an account of what we're going to do.
Amen.
I have already preached 3 really good messages. Are we done, or are we going to keep going?
I think we're all set. Go ahead.
We're all set. Go ahead. Wait, go ahead. Stop or go ahead. Keep going. Now, for today's lesson, I like this because we're getting ready to go on that other TV station or radio station. And these short pieces like this make it very simple for us to be able to divide it up, stick it on the audio, and then send it out. And I thank God for the opportunity to preach the gospel to many people. For those of you that only with us on Sunday, think about this. We're preaching the gospel right now in 46 nations of the world today. That's just what we can see with our eyes. Last month on YouTube alone, 1,191 different people. Thank you for your faith speaking over us in what we do. There's no bragging. It don't have nothing to do with how big our advertisement department is. It isn't. We don't advertise. That is God Almighty taking our message to somebody around the world that needs it. Mary Fernandez, Julian Mpumala, Brother Tanvir, all of our friends in Pakistan. I know you guys. All of our brothers in Africa, I know some of you. And the rest of you in all of these other nations, we want to know you. Send us an email. Send us a picture of you listening to the program. Have somebody just take a picture of you. Send it by email so we can put a partner board up. If you can give us your name, do it. If you can't, just send a picture and we'll know what it's all about, and we'll bless you, it'll be a blessing to you and your family. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 11. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you are one of the followers of our ministry, you know that my pastor is Dr. Mark T. Barkley. And so if you were, some of you listen to him, if you were listening to him this morning, he was preaching out of Hebrews chapter 11. Who does he think he is copying my notes like this?
Yay, Pastor Mark T. Barkley. We love him.
So, Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to go for today's message, but it's going to be a completely different message than what Pastor was teaching in Midland this morning. And isn't that amazing how we're using the same set of verses? We're going to read the same verses he read, but I'm going to teach a completely different message out of it. All right. So last night we started, we were answering a question about what effect does sin have on my relationship with the Father? Does it grieve the Father when I sin? And very, very specifically, the scripture says it grieves the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit when you sin. Now, matter of fact, let's read that verse first. Sister Sunday, Brother Roger, all of you that are joining us on YouTube, welcome, welcome, welcome. We love you guys. All of our friends on Blog Talk Radio, wherever you are around the world, we sure do love you. Thank God you're there. Now, let's actually go to Hebrews chapter 10, same page, but we'll go to 29, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 11. Now watch this. Hebrews 10, 29. And think about this statement of how much worse punishment do you suppose will a man be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing? Look at this. And insulted the Spirit of grace. I truly believe that if most believers were taught, excuse me, this set of verses, chapter 10, verse 29, about sin, as they teach you about receiving righteousness. There, so many Christians would be stable and solid, and they would understand that it's not your efforts, it's not your works, it's the works of righteousness. And if I sin, I'm going to trample Jesus under my feet. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to count the blood of the covenant by which you were sanctified a common thing. I'm not. I'm gonna consider the blood of Jesus a common thing? No way. And then it says, insult the Spirit of grace. Well, why don't people even know this verse exists? Because it's not been preached. And what have we taught? What is the body of Christ, the pastors taught people? You're going to sin every day and every day. Indeed, nobody's perfect. Nobody's ever going to be perfect. And what do you do with that verse, with that statement? Now, if you're one of those people that was taught that statement, you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. It doesn't matter. Nobody can be perfect. Their statement is nobody can be perfect. Well, then you don't know this verse. And you're making death your Savior, not Jesus. If we have to wait until death so that we can be perfect, Jesus isn't your Savior. Death is.
That's a scary thing.
I know. I could hear somebody saying, Pastor, throw that pitch again. I totally swung and missed it, all right? This is going to be our week. We're going to study this. This today is walking with God in righteousness like the heroes of faith. That's our series, Walking with God Like. Death is your Savior to free you from sin completely. Many people say it. You can never be perfect till you get to heaven. Then death is your Savior. Because you can't be perfect until you die. Jesus isn't your Savior. Death is. And Paul said, death is the last enemy to be conquered. Don't worry if you missed it. I just threw the ball up and hit my own home run right there. And that's not my statement. The Holy Spirit spoke that statement through one of the greatest missionaries of our day, Georgian Banoff. That man's an amazing man of God. And got saved because somebody offered him a meal off the street. Guess what his ministry is? Feeding tens of thousands of people a day. Amazing man of God. And he's the one that the Holy Spirit gave that statement to. And at first, I've heard people say, you get that demon growl because they believe in that false doctrine. When you believe a false doctrine, you'll have a demon growl when the truth shows up. Woo! We're having a good time today, aren't we? Pastor, did you just say I have a demon growl? Well, if you'll hold on to false doctrine, better than you'll grab a hold of the revelation of the knowledge of the truth, there'll be a demon growl in your voice. Because you're not trusting in God. You're trusting in that old doctrine that you want to hold on to. Don't hold on to that stuff. Hold on to it lightly. The only thing you hold on to severely is this word. And then when the preacher gets done preaching, you say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And I'm going home right now to figure out how this is actually being said in God's word. Oh, yeah, you can warm this up. Thank God for good coffee in Jesus' mighty name. Now, walking with God in righteousness like the heroes of the faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. We'll start there. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and almost impossible to reach by a common believer.
What was it again? Hebrews 11?
Hebrews 11, 1 through 8. That's not what it says. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and only available to the fivefold ministry who have large ministries around the world. See, that's not what it says. But that's what people believe, because we look at somebody who has, by faith and patience, inherited the promises. And say, well, what's wrong with me? Nothing. Faith and patience will cause you to inherit those promises. Keep at it. You've got to study to show yourself approved unto God. At 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. Now, faith, believing that it's already done, is actually the substance that you hold on to until it's here. God said it's already done. I got it. It's already done. God said it's already done. It's already done. Well, Pastor, if it's already done, why in your hand? I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter. It's already done. He said it. That's the end of it. It's already, he can't fail. He won't fail.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 2. By it, what? Faith. The elders obtained a good testimony. Not a new ministry building. They obtained a good testimony of their life. Watch. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which we see were not made of things which were visible. How did light get here? And God said, let there be light. My mom made a powerful statement to me yesterday when we were talking about relish. Watch this. Genesis chapter 1. Two, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water, and God said, it sure is dark out there. And what he said. And God said, sure wish it wasn't so dark. But wait. We got to realize we are made in the image of our Father. And God said, let there be light. Was there light when he said it?
Yep.
Where?
Everywhere.
No. Was there light before he said it? Not in front of his eyes. Darkness was there. Where was the light that he was speaking? On the inside of him and in heaven. Right? So there was light. But what he was speaking to did not have light, and he was speaking what is where he is into what he saw and what was just created. God has never been in darkness. This isn't talking about heaven. This is talking about earth, where we are. So he's in light. He sees darkness. And what does he say? Let there be light. He spoke to what he wanted, and it came. Now watch this. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light. It was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. Watch this. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament, divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters above the firmament, and it was called. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. What was the first day? Light. What was the second day? the waters above and beneath. God said, let, 10, God called the dry land earth and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. God saw it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Can anybody tell me, where did he make the sun and moon? Verse number 16, God made two greats, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. God made them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and the light for them. God saw that it was good. 19, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day, but he said light on the first day. And the stars and the sun and the moon were not created until the fourth day. What is God going to tell you and I to do all of our life? Speak to something that doesn't exist and watch it come to pass, because it's an assignment he gave you to do. You speak it, you speak it, and the next thing you know, it comes to pass. Verse 3, Hebrews 11:3. By faith, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are invisible. I haven't even got to the word righteousness yet. I'm really trying. Everybody pray for me. Do you have your faith with me that I can actually make it to the word that is righteousness in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1-8? Here we go. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Who's counting? God. This is Holy Spirit speaking in Hebrews 11. Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's, through which he obtained the witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. His offering brought him righteousness.
Amen.
Wait, why do we stop talking and just give a moment of ponderment? Because, wait a minute, I just read to you the Bible. You and I have to believe this book no matter what we've been taught in our life. We're going to stand before Jesus, the living word, and give an account of believing this book or holding on to religious indoctrination. Let it go.
Amen. Amen.
I'm preaching really good. 5. Look at this verse. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he obtained this testimony. He pleased God. What do we call it when you please God? You are righteous. Old Testament Enoch walked with God, obtained the testimony that he was righteous. And he was so righteous, God said, boy, come up out of this. I want you to come up here and hang out with me. Well, you know, that's not a good way to say it, but, you know, that's our hip way of talking. Anyway. Verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So conversely, with faith, it's very possible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he, God, notice that's capitalized, he exists. And that he rewards those who diligently seek him. The greatest definition of faith is right there in that verse. You believe God is? And you know he rewards you when you seek him. That's all faith is. You seek him, he tells you what to do, you do it, and he rewards you. Well, you're just serving God for a reward. That's what that verse says. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. What was his next phrase? And my reward is with me. You are very right. I'm serving God for a reward. I just can't believe you just say that. What am I? How can I be wrong when the Holy Spirit of God wrote that verse and the Holy Spirit of God wrote the verse in Revelation that Jesus said, I'm coming to give to all men according to their works. Well, you don't get saved by works, Pastor. No, I don't. But works are what gets you the reward. The reward is what gives you a crown to lay at Jesus' feet. See, when they said to you, the only thing you got to do is get born again, they lied to you. They didn't do it intentionally. That's just your first step. You must come to the understanding of what this book is. Pastor, you're making it so I got to actually read the Bible and believe it. Isn't that just a novel idea in the day that we live in, 2022? Born again is your first step. Filled with the Holy Spirit, second step. Baptized in water, third step. Some people get them all in one. Born again, spirit-filled, and baptized all in one. It's all right. Don't tell God he can't hit you all at once. Let him be what he's going to be. But the idea is this. God wants you to know he will reward you with his presence when you diligently seek him. And this word reward, there's nothing there about money. This word reward is when you seek him, he will reward you with his presence. And he calls it the word reward. How can I be wrong for saying I want it? Man, I just serve God because I want to just love him. No, I don't need no reward. Well, you're a bad servant because he said he wants to reward you and you saying, I don't want your reward, God. Well, Pastor, I didn't say that. Yeah, you kind of did. About it. Here's my blood. I don't want your blood, Jesus. I just want to be like you. No, it takes my blood to do that. I know, but you paid such a dear price. I don't. It's too holy for me to even grasp a hold of. I'll just leave it where it is, and I'll just be. I'll do good all by myself to be righteous. No, you won't. You have to have the blood to be righteous, and you have to have Jesus' righteousness to be righteous. You can't be righteous any other way. You don't get to God unless you diligently seek him and he rewards you. I can tell there is some people that listen. I don't know who you are. It's not anybody. It's not any of these people that's with us today. I know all you people. I can tell somebody's like, you have just broken everything I just believed. I have believed my whole life about God. That's good. That means we sacrificed that holy cow you've been believing in. And we won't make a golden calf out of it. We'll just sacrifice that rascal, and we'll teach you the word of Almighty God. Because here's the reality. Churchianity has caused many people in the day that we live be churchy, and they don't know anything about God. And you're hoping to be able to stand in front of Jesus and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, but you don't even know what that verse is found in the Bible. You don't even know what it's talking about. You don't have any idea what it is. And you're saying, but when I get there, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me. He ain't going to call you friend if you ain't righteous. He's going to call you sinner. Well, Pastor, see, if you're going to be God's friend, you got to do what God does to be God's friend. Listen, this this teaching and what we're going to study all week, I'm going to confront a serious bunch of religion. Serious. Why? It's stopping you from becoming righteous. And who gets to find flips about religious? Because God doesn't. God rebuked the religious leaders and those who followed him through Jesus, all through Jesus' public ministry. He was rebuking those religious leaders and for those who followed them, and he looked them right in the face and said, you're making people all the more a child of hell by your religious indoctrination. The scariest day in the world to me is the day of the rapture, because I know so many people, they're not going to make it because they don't have any righteousness, but they've been in church their whole life and all they have is religiosity. They go to church, they act churchy. You can't get it just because as soon as they leave, they cuss and swear.
Gossip,
tailbear, backbite, and all the works of the flesh will be found. And many of them will be found in their car as they leave the building to go home to their house. See, by faith, Abel received a good report that he was righteous. Enoch received a good report that he was righteous. God took him out. He was so righteous. Noah, look at this one, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. Look at what it says. And became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. All right, that's Genesis. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Just hold your place in Hebrews 11 because we're coming back there. Philippians chapter 3. Look at this. You got to see this. This is the message we're going to get this week. And I'm going to teach it with the greatest of love and mercy and compassion. There ain't a one of you who are listening. I don't even know y'all. There ain't a one of you that's listening that are not way out there and God's all done with you. And I'm certainly not done with you. I have to confront the religiosity that you've been trained and taught because it's stopping you from receiving the wonder and the joy and the amazing life of blessing and covenant and strength and power and might and dominion that comes along with the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:9, Paul said, and that I would be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, my own effort, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him. Get righteous by doing an action.
Right.
That's the law. And they didn't get righteous. They just had their sins atoned for. Righteousness comes because you believe God and you received his gift and you get the free gift of righteousness, which is what we read about last night in Romans chapter 5 as we were teaching our lesson last night. Romans 5, 15 to 21. Five times, God, by the Holy Spirit, used Paul to say the free gift of righteousness. So, back to Hebrews 11. These men didn't have the righteousness of Jesus. He wasn't there. They had the righteousness of faith. Look what it says about Noah. Verse 7. And he became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. God spoke to him, told him what was coming. He believed God. It's counted to him for righteousness, and he was rewarded with life for him and his family because he built the ark. Hey, he not only built the ark, which took him 100 years, he preached for 100 years and got zero converts except Mrs. Noah and Ham, Shem, and Japheth, Noah, and their three wives. Eight people. And condemned the world because they didn't believe him. That's a pretty serious man of God.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
He was a preacher of righteousness. What was it? This is the ark of safety. You're going to have to be in here. What's the ark of safety in our day? The church, the body of Christ. You've got to be in the body of Christ to make it. And every one of you in the sound of my voice that's prayed the prayer of salvation, you are in the ark of Christ. Now you have to go on unto perfection so that you can understand these things from God. Hebrews chapter 10. Go there real quick. No. It's not Hebrews chapter 10, and it's 987. Where's it at? 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Watch this. Therefore, leaving the discussion, I'm in 6, 1 through 7, 8. Hebrews 6, 1 through 8. I'm slowing down. I'm on a roll. I got the fire of the Holy Spirit flowing in my belly, and glad to have all y'all with us. Watch this. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. There ain't a bit of this in the Holy Spirit speaking through the writer of Hebrews saying, it's all right. The only thing you got to do is just get saved. You can't be perfect. You'll never be holy. You'll become holier, but you'll never be holy, and you'll never be perfect. You're just a human. And the only way you can get saved is if Jesus washes you with his blood and gives you his righteousness and makes you a new creation that never existed, which is what? Righteous and holy.
Amen.
Woo! I'm preaching better than you're shouting, jumping, dancing, and maybe you are. And if you are, glory be to God. Keep reading. So what is it? The foundation of repentance from dead works, which means the law and the works of your flesh won't give you righteousness. Of faith toward God, foundation doctrine of the Christianity, faith toward God. The doctrine of baptism. The laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. How can you say there ain't no hell when the Apostle Paul is telling you eternal judgment is the very foundation factor of your Christian life? Watch. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gift, have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them. Oh, Jesus, Pastor, you're making me nervous. No, I don't want anybody to be nervous. You're here. You've not fallen away.
Amen.
Right? You're here seeking, searching. So all of these verses are you. And you can shout, glory, hallelujah, this is me. I'm learning, growing. Like Brother Rogers said, this is some heavy preaching, but bring it on. Let's take this on. Let's get this. Why? Because this is how serious your Christian life is. Well, Pastor, I thought it's light and easy. It is if you're growing. If all you did was just get born again, I'm going to question if you really got born again. Or if you just got a religious feeling on a day because you went forward, somebody shook your hand and said, welcome to the church. Because if you truly are born again, then you were made a new creation. The blood of Jesus washed you through all your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. He gave you his righteousness, and the frustration with sin in your life anywhere will never leave you, because you'll continually be saying, I got to get this out of my life. That's proof of growth, proof of determination, proof that the righteousness of God is working on the inside of your life. Don't be condemned. Shout glory.
Amen.
Why? Because it's proven that righteousness on the inside of you is saying, you have to stop this. Does anybody even know when I started teaching today so I can preach for only 1 hour of faith? Do you know how many different ways I could go right now?
Yeah.
Brother Roger, you got 4 more hours? No. There's a lot of people that have read these verses in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6, and they've just totally freaked out and walked right away from God. Like, oh, I'm already done. It's all over. It ain't over! The fact that on the inside of you is something saying, I got to not do this. I got to get free from this. I got to not do this. That means that righteousness is in there working, and what you got to get is the revelation, the understanding of what this book actually says. And then this is the coolest thing in the world. You will never sin again. Well, I mean, I'll never sin again? No! Because that force of righteousness on the inside of you will be like, do not do that. And at first, it'll be covered up, and there'll be little blurbs of, don't do that. And then you'll learn that, wait, that's my righteousness. That's Jesus' righteousness speaking on the inside of me. And you'll say, I want all the blurbs I can get. Why? Because his righteousness is beaming on the inside of you.
Yes.
And you never again have to sin another day of your life. But you got to get the revelation of his righteousness. As soon as you do, you will not sin. Because you'll be like, well, what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, you will realize, can you get me a Kleenex? I will not trample the Son of God underneath my feet. I will not count the blood of the covenant as a common thing. And I will not insult the Spirit of grace. Now, well, Pastor, what if I didn't realize verse 29 is there? Do you realize it now? The Christian life is made up of this. Wow. I see that. I plead the blood. I receive you, Jesus. I ask you, please forgive me. I am never doing that another day of my life.
Yeah.
Show me the revelation that will never be there. And what does he say? Blood, righteousness, forgiven, thrown into the sea. Sins not imputed.
Thank you, Lord. Just say thank you.
This week, I had some, there's a wonderful Christian young lady that has been talking with Leanne and I about her Christian faith. And she asked me a question. I'm like, huh, I know the answer, but where in the world is that answer? You know, it's like, I know the word, so I just said, my mind is trying to get in the way and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, no, I know what I'm talking about, and I know the Holy Spirit of God, and he's moving in me. And this is what I know. As soon as I start speaking this word, there's going to be the answer. And the first set of verses we went to last night, there was the answer. I'm like, yeah, there, that's it right there. That's it right there. Why? Because when you sin as a believer, this is what you do. you trample the Son of God under your foot. I didn't write it. Wait, let me encourage you. I did not have the revelation of this in my own life. You know how many times I've trampled the Son of God under my feet? Not intelligently. The blood of the covenant to be a common thing? Never. Insult the Spirit of grace? Never would I do that. But I got a word for you. I did it many times. Why? Because I did not have the revelation that that's what happens when you sin. And I don't have to sin if I get the revelation of Jesus' righteousness.
Amen.
See, I'm going to tell my own story here all week long. In my life, I believed you should be born again. I was. I prayed the prayer. I believed you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was. I even speak in tongues, flowing the gifts of the Spirit. But my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I had that doctrine in my mind and heart as much as most other believers have. Well, you just can't be perfect. How many times have I ever stood in the pulpit and said, one thing about it, all you got to do is just work hard and try hard, and you'll never be perfect. You're a human. It's impossible for you to be perfect. I preached it myself. In that verse in Matthew 5:48 affected me my whole life. Be ye therefore holy as I'm holy. No, be ye therefore holy as your Father, which is in heaven, is holy. Jesus is telling us we got to be holy like the Father. Hold everything. If I'm supposed to be holy like the Father, then what's up with all this religious junk that's standing in front of me telling me I'll never be perfect? It's impossible. It's awesome, Roger. Thank you, Sister Kathy Angaroni, that you helped me that one Sunday when you said it's an hour of faith and then communion festival. I have no idea where we're at today in the revelation of this message. I just know, I know where we're going this week, and I know that this message matches our series of I'm going to walk with God like the heroes of our faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness when Jesus wasn't even here. So because Abraham believed what God said and received it, it was counted to him for righteousness. Wait. And he immediately went to Egypt and lied about his wife. And people will say, well, see, Pastor, that proves that even though you're righteous, you still are going to sin. No, you can sin. I'm not saying you won't sin. You can if you want. But why would you want to trample Jesus under your feet and insult the Spirit of grace and consider the blood a common thing? Well, nobody ever taught me that verse, Pastor. No, they didn't. And I've heard this verse many times taught. Let me say this boldly. Dr. Barclay has taught this verse many times. You know what the revelation is? I didn't have this as a revealed word of God to me that I woke up and said, hold it. I've got to take verse 29 and say, this is what God is declaring is happening if I sin. Therefore, the statement, you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed, cannot be right. Because you would not sin every day, word, thought, and deed, trample the Son of God underfoot every day in your word and your thought and your deed. You would not the blood of the covenant as a common thing in word, thought, and deed every day. You would not insult the Spirit of grace in word, thought, and deed every day. You would not do that. But even though I heard him preach this message from this very verse of Scripture, what happened? I had a religious indoctrination in my mind that said, you'll never be perfect. Good. Well, it's okay. Just give them. What you just saw was one beautiful harvester. This is one harvesting lady right here. Watch this. So, Pastor, you're saying that while you was following Dr. Barclay, you were still sinning? Anybody who is counting on your religiousness and your own ability to be righteous, I guarantee you there's going to be some sin happening in your life in one way or another. Well, what were they, Pastor? I ain't ever going to tell you my sin. And you better not tell anybody your sin. That's a dumb thing to do. Why? Because none of it matters. Jesus threw it in the sea of his forgetfulness. To be remembered no more, so why would you remember it? And I then see what we're doing. We went wrong. Well, I got to confess my sins to everyone. I heard somebody say one time that literally publicly stood up and said, I have a horrible problem with masturbation. And I'm like, oh, my Lord Jesus. Why?
Humans are not equipped.
Would you
do
that in the church? This was at church. Whoever taught you to do that taught you wrong. Why? As soon as you came to Jesus, Jesus said, blood, righteousness, sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember it. Your angel was, that person's angel was standing next to them in church looking at Jesus like, not since I've been with him. I don't know. I'm not guilty of letting this guy go, Jesus. And the Father shakes his head and says, he's being trained by them people in that building, that's the right thing to do. Why? Because it makes you a big deal in the kingdom when you can admit to all these great sins you did. What is that? That is a work of the flesh. That is a work of pride. And that's why Paul said in Romans, it is not of your work because you will boast about it. I don't have my bongos close. Brother Roger, I'd be playing them right now. Think about it. By faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham, they're all before the covenant. That's pre-covenant. Well, Abraham is the covenant. That's the beginning of the covenant. But Abel and Enoch and Noah was all pre-covenant. They believed God, and it was counted them for righteousness. Abraham is when God made the covenant and said, because you believe, all the nations of the world will be blessed in you. And he started the covenant factor that when you believe God, not when you act righteous, when you believe God, it's counted to you for righteousness. Hey, I know that some of you are like, Pastor, you got me all messed up. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because religious indoctrination has kept you bound. That's why that day, I've been a pastor for 20 years. Literally. The day that guy told me, Brother Kim Welland, the day he said that to me, I'm like, Kim, I don't know what that means. And he's like, he literally said it. How can you be a preacher for 20 years and not know what it means? I said, well, wait, I believe in salvation. I believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch this. But that tells you why you have the battle with all the sin of the flesh, which is the enemy sends somebody, you get offended, and then you got to fight the battle of talking against them. You got to fight the battle of tailbearing, backbiting, gossip. You got to fight the battle of unforgiveness. wait a minute, as soon as you get this, you'll be like, it don't matter what people say or do to you. You'll be like, wait a minute, I don't care. Now, God bless you. Forgive them, Jesus. They don't know what they do. Why? Because your righteousness is so pure and holy from Jesus, you'll never taint it even with unforgiveness. Never once. Why? Jesus forgave you. What did you do to get it? You didn't do anything. You received it. And so he gave you his righteousness, and you're going to hold somebody else's sin against them? Never. What's going to happen? You're going to keep acting in religious ways, and that's going to cause you to have pride and the lack of humility. That's a sin. It's going to cause you to have outbursts of wrath because of it, and that's a sin. These are the Christian sins that people sin every day. Why? Because they were told you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. Is it really that big of a leg? Wait, if there's that big of a leg, then I can preach for another 15 minutes before my hour of faith is up. Let's circle the wagons here. We'll be done for today. Abel, which is at the Garden of Eden, folks. That's 7,000 years ago. Abel offered to God his sacrifice for sin, the blood of a lamb, and it was considered, let's get this. Verse 4, Hebrews 11:4, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, not because it was better than Cain, because he did what the Father told him to do. Amen. That's what made it righteous, is his obedience. Yeah, but Pastor, I try to not sin. That isn't going to work. I'm not going to sin. 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 Oh, God, please help me. I'm not going to sin. What are you talking about? You're talking about sin. Guess what you will do? You will sin.
That's where your focus is, yeah.
Because that's where your focus is. But you ready? I thank you, Jesus. You've made me. You have made me the righteousness of God because of you, and I receive it in faith. I am the righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus made me righteous. Mm-hmm. Well, focus on that, and you won't ever worry about that sin. Why? Because you're filled with righteousness. Now, I'm going to say something about Leanne tonight.
Really?
I paused for a moment to see if she picked anything up. Like, just scratch my cheek here with this stick. No. No, it doesn't matter who you are. If you have a relationship, you have to work it. And there's been many days where I've said things. I didn't mean them in any sense of a wrong, but it didn't come out right. And I've looked at her over and over and said, wait. I am not that man. I am a man of righteousness. And I will always take us to this word. And I will always take us to righteousness. And so what would I say? Please forgive me. Because ready for this? Because how it came out of me was tainted with that religious indoctrination of my past. Does that make sense? How it came out was tainted with religious indoctrination from the past. But I can guarantee you that is not me. And when I see the fact as, and you see it on the other person's face, you got to stop immediately. Wait a minute. I just said something that is not in order in God. And I'm going to say right now, please forgive me. That is not who I am. I am a man of God in righteousness. Let me try this again. Right? Iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. He doesn't gouge his friend and call him dumb, stupid, and ignorant because he's still battling with something that has a religious indoctrinated hold on his life. Paul said, as in a mirror, face to face, so is the word of God. Well, have you ever noticed that your wife sounds like God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and the word at times? Same thing with you wives, with your husband. And you're looking in their face and you're like, all right. I obviously didn't say that right because I can tell the effect that it had on you. And it don't matter which way it goes.
Right.
What you have to say is, whoops. You got to learn. You've got to grow and develop in your spirituality. Look at yourself. Get your mirror out immediately. Whoa. I obviously did not say that right. Please forgive me. Well, Pastor, didn't you just sin? A sin is a willful known act of transgression against the law of God. I didn't sin on purpose. What happened? Out of my mouth came something of an indoctrination from the past that I don't have the word of God pushed down in that corner of my life, forcing it out of me. And the process of that, the action of that, has still bubbled up and it said something and it came out wrong. But I'm not that person. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. She's not that person. She's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that means I have to use her face as my mirror. I have to use this word as my mirror. And then I have to take the word of God and get it down in my life until every one of those wicked seeds and weeds of religiosity are uprooted out of my life. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
The moment you're born again, you're free indeed. Now you got to get this, your brain. You got to get your mind renewed to this word and not to what somebody said. One of our greatest problems is we have a hero of the faith. And we say, well, it's like Dr. Barclay says. It's like Brother Hagin says. It's like Jesse DePlana says. Jesse's one of my favorites. I love Jesse. It's like Brother Copeland says. No, get it right. It's like Dr. Barclay said, flowing in the Holy Spirit. Because it's not Mark, the man.
Yeah.
He is a man. He is functioning from his manness. But it's the gift of the Holy Spirit that caused him to make that statement, no different than the writer of these books was being inspired by the Holy Spirit to cause me to understand. That statement by Banoff, Georgian Banoff. If death is your Savior, then you never got saved. If Jesus can't set you free from all sin on this earth, then death is your Savior. Let it get down deep inside of your statement. Father would not have said to Jesus, say, be ye therefore perfect as your Father which in heaven is perfect, unless Father had already provided the way for you to be perfect. Now, the only thing that's got to change, you got to get your mind renewed to the word of God.
Amen.
Just a good word today.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good word today. Let's believe God and walk in faith like our heroes of the faith. This whole chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, this whole chapter is a chapter on faith, of the way that the men and women of old believed God and it was counted to them for righteousness. Well, Pastor, won't I still sin like Abraham? I hope not. My God in heaven, don't do that. Abraham slept with his handmaid and created a whole group of folks on this earth that's given a whole big old mess in this world.
To this day, they still are.
Don't do that. No. Abraham's not your example. David sinning with Bathsheba is not your example. Samson's not your example. Samson went and laid with Delilah over and over and over until she wore him down and got his eyes gouged out. What kind of an example is that? Kind of an example is the end of Solomon's life. 300 wives and 700 combines. He had big wheat fields. He had 700 combines. Concubines. That's not an example. Don't do that. But at the beginning of Solomon's life, he was the righteous man of God. You and I are going to finish strong all the way to the end. And we're going to fight through it. And anytime you see the flesh rising up, just be quick to say, no, that's not who I am. That is not who I am. I am a new creation. Now you say, Holy Spirit, show me what that action is connected to somewhere in my past, and I'll put the word of God on it, and I'll drive that word so deep in my heart that action will never be there another day of my life. Why? Because when you see that, it needs the truth of God's word to overcome it. No more endings. That was the last one. You ready? Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank you for every one of these amazing believers that are with us. My, we just love these. These are the cream of the crop, the tip of the top, and some of the most determined, focused, fighting believers we have ever seen in our life. Bless them, Jesus, for being with us. And take us all to this next level with you, that we will never again trample underfoot our Lord Jesus. Consider the blood of the covenant as a common thing. That we would never insult the spirit of grace in our life. And that we will walk in the paths of righteousness given to us by Jesus the moment we were born again. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless every person in the sound of my voice today to be filled with great help and strength. Pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Can I get a big amen?
A big amen.
I thoroughly expected in the end to go, amen, and my hair to go. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Now,
amen.
It's time for us today to receive our communion elements. This is something that we do every single day on our program in one place or another. In the evening program, Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, it'll always be in the evening program. On Sunday, it'll always be here. On Read the Word, it's Sunday morning. And we want to make the communion elements always available. As Jesus said, as often as you do this. He didn't say seldom. Often does not mean Christmas, Easter, and, oh, yeah, if you can work it in a couple other Sundays throughout the year. No, no, no. This is the greatest force there is, his broken body and his blood shed.
Okay.
How we're going to do it here is I'm going to read the verses out of 1 Corinthians, and then we will pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication. And then we'll give you 2 minutes of teaching, help you be connected to us, and we'll receive the communion elements today in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for being with us. We sure do love all of you. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. The most used page of my whole Bible is this one. I literally open it up and then I don't touch it anymore because the paper's wearing thin. I love it. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes, his death. Verse 28, this is the process every time you come to communion. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Can you imagine if you get that revelation of righteousness? Every time you sit down and you judge yourself, you will be righteous as soon as you get it. And then you sit here every day and say, thank you, Jesus. Take me in to the Holy of Holies, to a greater revelation of who you are. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? The righteous are as bold as a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's it. Why are we bold? Because as he is right now, righteous, sitting on that throne, so are we in this world. He's the head. We're the body. We are his hands and his feet. Hallelujah. Perfect love. Cast out fear and all the torment that goes with it and the trauma in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I know you could tell that I just went to preaching there. And Sister Lan's got a big sign that she holds up. Just read the Bible. Right. Oh, it's so full of life. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Now's your opportunity. Maybe you've been away from God, estranged from God because of church or religion or religious leader or denominationalism, that you're like, man, this does not satisfy at all. It doesn't. But knowing God does. And today's the day. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, or just a prayer that says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. I'm going to speak my faith again today. Pray this with us. In 2 minutes, you will be right with God. No questions asked. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Let that register deep. I believe you are the Son of God. And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your
mercy. All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word
Pray
of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live
language.
A successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer
I
every
pray
day.
This in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty
amen.
Name.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Now, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. What just happened on the inside of you is you were just made a whole new being. When you receive Jesus, he gives you the power to become a child of God, which is what we preached. We were teaching all morning. You're now one with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. They just came and made their abode inside of you. John chapter 14, Romans chapter 8, and you are now an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, because you're led by the Spirit here and you received him. Right now, you might say, Pastor, I don't even understand it. I know, that's why you need us. We'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. Now, from this day forward, what is your responsibility? Walk with God every day. Let him lead you into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23, he will lead you into the paths of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
He didn't say he will force you into the actions of your local church doctrine. He will lead you into the paths of righteousness.
Amen.
For his name's sake. Wake up every morning, look up at that seal and say, Father, I need your help today. Stop at noon and say, thank you, Father, for your help in my life. Go to bed at night. Honestly, do this. Lay there before you go to sleep and say, Father, how did we do today? How did I do today? And he'll tell you. And if in any way you are otherwise minded than the righteousness of God, according to Philippians chapter 3, he will reveal that to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and stick with us. We'll lead you to the things of God. We've got hundreds and hundreds of videos that will help you know who our God is and how to reach him. In Jesus' mighty name, we have a program called Read the Word where we're reading through the Bible chronologically. It is an amazing study of God's Word. It's a YouTube playlist. Just click like on it. Add the plus sign, and it'll be in your YouTube app where you can find it every single day. In Jesus' name. Ready? Here we go. Bless him. Say this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my
body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Thank you. There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Thank you. There is nothing missing and nothing
Every
broken.
Joint in my body is supplying.
Every joint in my body is supplying.
From your broken body.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my
and
community.
Right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of
in
faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Thank you. Thank you. Aren't you glad? All it is just receiving. Jesus said, it's finished. And I don't know whether it was God or an angel tore the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom and opened up the Holy of Holies so you and I can walk in. Ready? By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come to the throne of God.
Who is my Father?
Who is my Father.
And I receive grace, mercy, and help.
And I receive grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome every time.
I overcome every time.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive his blood together. The blood of Jesus.
Lord.
Ready?
Thank you, Lord.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There it is. Look at this verse, Ephesians 5. And let's go 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. It doesn't say bride, it says church. Now look at what the glorious church is. Not having spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. God help us to not have spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. You might say, what does that even mean? That's a good study begin to study it. Read that every day and say, Jesus, that's me. You said it. That's me. That's who I am. And that's who he'll make you. Well, until we see you again tomorrow morning for prayer, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central, for rebuilding the walls of righteousness, where we're standing in line and speaking in faith over the United States of America and the body of Christ around the world to stand up and be strong. Until we see you again, this is what we say. Make sure you listen to this video again. That's a good one. I'm going to listen to it again this afternoon while I'm making maple syrup. Right. Whatever you make, relish. Maple syrup. We're going to make maple syrup. No. And always remember this. We're only a text and email a message away. Till we see you again, we say this. We love you.
We love you.
We do.
And God.
And God loves you beyond anything you can imagine. And Jesus will always be Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus is Lord. It don't matter. Do you see that right there? I could have preached another half an hour right there on that one thought. I believe it's from God. But we got to go. Shooter, love you guys. Anything we can do to help you walk with God, let us know. If it's within our power, we'll make sure we make it happen. And a word of faith from us is always within our power. In Jesus' mighty name. All of our brothers and sisters around the world on Blog Talk Radio, we sure do love you. We call you blessed. We want to be able to help you get this translated into your native language. So give us send us an email, and we'll show you how we can help. We can, together, you and I, can make that happen and be a blessing right there in your own community, region, in your nation, whatever it is, in Jesus' mighty name. See you soon. All of our friends.